The Survivor Specialists are back, and today I am joined by Liz Wilcox from Survivor 46. So excited to have Liz on here. Got to meet you one time during last season, and that was really fun. That was a pretty crazy episode. That was the Mo Boot, right?
Yeah, at the Ron Clark event, the Mo Boot. That was wild. And I just want to thank Phil for saying hi to me, because that was also at a time in my season where the only coverage I had gotten was like, oh, this lady is really aloof. And I tell you what, only like there were hundreds of people there and only three people came up to me that whole night.
That's insane.
And Phil was one of them. So thank you.
That cracks me up. And that just shows like, it's really funny with Survivor fans, right? They'll show up to these events and they want to go to the star of the season, and then the star gets so overwhelmed every time. It's funny. It's funny how that works. But no, I was very excited. You said you knew who I was, and I was like, all right, Liz, I could talk to you for hours then. What do you want? That's all I needed to hear.
Right. Flattery will get you in a lot of places. And now we're talking.
And now here we are. And we're going to rank these players from Survivor 47, and we're going to do all that fun stuff. It's funny when timing like this works out. You might have had a little bit of an epic like meltdown on your season, and then last week we have Andy start off the season with this. Were you getting any like flashbacks? Were you sympathizing?
Yes, I am an Andy sympathizer. I posted on Twitter like I felt like Andy, you know, right off the bat. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm kind of out of place. And what I know Jeff always talks about this, and it's so like cliche or roll your eyes, but it's so true. Like almost immediately Survivor brings up all those insecurities you thought you had gotten over. And for me, like Andy, I didn't really have a lot of friends growing up. I was kind of the weirdo. And, you know, I was really, really shy. I was mute until the age of 7, which you would never guess. Me screaming, I'm pissed that, oh, this lady didn't used to talk as a kid. That's crazy. And so when Andy was saying those things, like immediately before the epic breakdown at the end of the episode, when he was like, oh, I've only had 4 friends, I was like, oh, dude, you're feeling insecure already. You've got to dial this down. Mm-hmm. But in general, I am a sympathizer. I do feel like I was going through those same emotions. I just, at that point in the game, was keeping them in check.
Yeah, what do you think it was for Andy that it happened to him so quickly out there? And he's such a big fan of the show. We all know that he's an RHAP patron. He knew who Asia was. Like, he knew right away who John Lovett was. You can tell that this is a guy who listens to podcasts, who's probably studied this game like crazy. You think it was just it didn't go the exact way he wanted it to, and he kind of started to spiral and couldn't really get his footing back? Like, what, because you it seems like you felt like you've been there, at least eventually you got there. Why though on day 2 was this happening to him already?
Yeah, well, paranoia will destroy ya. You ever heard that song? I think what Phil just said about, you know, he's a fan of the show, he knew who Asia was, he knew John, and even having someone like, if you know who John Lovett is, that his last name is, yeah, if you know who that guy is and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm literally standing next to Obama's speechwriter. I'm standing next to one of the top podcasts in the world. I can't imagine the insecurity. Like, if you have those insecurities from childhood, like that must have just completely like whiplashed him. Like, oh, I thought I was great, but I'm not. And that was something even at the end, at the finale, that they cut from when I was speaking with Jeff, that I said, I thought I was like king shit in my land. Like, I am number one. I am the loudest, largest person I've ever met. I said, and the second I got on this island, I was like, wow, I am the quietest person here.
Yeah, yeah.
And so maybe it's a similar thing of, oh, I've overcome, because he talks about this with Jeff, I think at Tribal. Oh, I've overcome so many things. I wanted to prove to myself that I really did overcome this. I wanted to come on this greatest social experiment, whatever. And then he got on the island and immediately sees somebody who he believes is famous, or, you know, is someone who is a big deal. And maybe it just came back just so quick.
Yeah, and it's funny you mention that, though, because he did make that choice, right? Like, he made the decision to go to John, who I totally agree. Like, when you think about the power people who have been on Survivor, right? Like, you think about Mike White, Jeff Kent, you know, like, big, big people. Even mm-hmm. you talk about somebody like Ceri or Boston Rob at this point. They've played so many times, people are probably going to get starstruck by them. We've never had somebody at that level of like power. Like, you're talking, this man was writing the words that the president of the United States was saying out loud. And like, if you have a little bit of insecurity, maybe don't go to that guy, because he's probably going to have life experiences that are going to make you feel a little bit more small, right? I don't know. That's just my feeling on it.
That's a great point. Yeah. He went to the person that was probably making him feel the most insecure. So that probably, that's a really great connection there, Phil.
Well, so we had that breakdown, and we had a lot of other fun stuff going on. We had 17 people left. Ultimately, they ended up electing to vote John off. You just played the game. You were on a pretty good try at the start. So, you know, you didn't really have to deal with any of these early season shenanigans. You had Yanu. That helped. Good. But what do you think they made the right decision here? You think they're going to end up kicking themselves kind of the way that Yanu did last season when they voted off Jelinski, who felt like he wasn't gelling, and then ended up voting off Jess at the next tribal. And it kind of seemed like they just started to then get rid of the people that they probably should have gotten rid of first.
Yeah. To be honest, I wanted them to vote John out from the second I saw him and people were on Twitter like, oh my gosh, I was like, get him out. I'm over it already. But I do think it was a mistake. Like, I don't know what they didn't show, right? It felt like, why are they voting him out? You know, it's very clear that Andy is, you know, self-imploding this freaking quick. And this has come from the lady that, you know, immediately wasn't eating, like immediately was starving, right? And so I get the self-implosion. I do, Andy. I hear you. I see you. I feel you. I am you. But I would have voted you out, I think. So I think there's probably something we didn't see. Maybe, you know, Andy did say, I'm going to throw this guy under the bus. So maybe he did tell them, hey, I do know this guy's podcast. He's really big. Or I do know he's a speechwriter. Maybe he did know that. And, you know, this guy's got a silver tongue. Just listen to the way he's talking. We've got to get him out. The same way, you know, Yanu was like, oh, Jelinski, big, you know, let's just get him out now. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I do agree, though, it felt out of left field. And like, part of me, and you know, I don't want to get into conspiracy theories here that are going to make people go, hey, what is Survivor, all that stuff. But part of me does wonder, like, did CBS not show us the flaws of John? Because I came out of that episode being like, damn, I love John. I don't know why they voted him out. I feel like Andy was the obvious decision. They didn't really show any blemishes of John. And any blemishes they did show, it was him narrating those blemishes instead of somebody else saying them. So I don't know if he got a little edit protection there. What do they call it? Plot armor
I hadn't thought about that, because I mean I didn't get any of that. So yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing. But that would not make
honestly,
sense.
If you did, I'm a little concerned about that.
Right. I don't know, but at the same time, there's something that a lot of Survivor players nowadays will say. There's no such thing as an easy vote. And if Andy's being super paranoid, that paranoia might have started to catch fire. And now people are saying, oh, well, is it an easy vote? You know, I saw that on our season a lot, where it was like, there was always so much chaos of like, well, that's too easy. It's too easy. And I'm like, just stick with the plan. What if it could be easy? You know, I remember saying that a few times, like, what if this could be easy? Let's just all pretend it's easy and it will go. And I think that's why people didn't play their idols, because it was like, oh, it's too easy. This is great. So anyway, I think maybe that was it. Maybe it was like, well, maybe it is too easy. Maybe we do keep Andy. Maybe there is something going on with John, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. And it's like, I feel like either vote would have been easy. I just thought what I thought was most interesting about the argument was when they started arguing they were keeping the strength. And I was like, Andy made like a very strong divot in the sand over there, but that was really what he did for the second half of that challenge. Like, he wasn't running around like James Clement or Jonathan Young. Like, I don't know what they were talking about with the strength things. I didn't feel like John really performed all that poorly. So I don't know.
No, I think they, you know, it's just looks. And I think, I mean, I didn't personally have to go through this, but we would always set up, oh, if we go to tribal tonight, this is this. And it was always just the most ridiculous stuff. Like, oh, well, you know, so we want to get rid of Soda, but she really is strong. You know, what about, like, look at Venus. She's, you know, she can't keep up. It would, you know, and it was like between those two all the time. It was like fake scenarios. So when it's real, I can only imagine how more frazzled it is. Like, okay, fine. Let's just look at him. You know, he's just bigger. What if we have to move a big boulder next week or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the challenges were actually physical to start this season. So I guess there is the argument to be made. What did you think about the idol scenarios? We just watched on your season, everybody get an idol and everybody forget that they're supposed to be used, that you're not supposed, like, you don't just get protection by holding it. And now we actually see Survivor make massive changes to what the idol situation is. And now we're seeing you find it, then you have the option to make it a better idol, and then you have the option to make it a better idol. We see Gabe and Rome both going through this entire process. We see Gabe eventually stop at three. What do you think about this process? And what do you think about the way that Gabe, and especially Rome, Mr. Soaking Wet Hair, coming out of the well, running away from his tribe? How do you think they handled this?
Yeah. So number one, the key within the key within the key, or the box or whatever, to me, it was like giving, we have 90 minutes now, guys, what should we do? It was like, but it also did lead to some really entertaining moments, like Phil just said, right? Like, oh my gosh, Rome is upside down in the water well. Gabe is dropping his box from the top of the hill. Like, that was so, it honestly was entertainment. You know, even though it was like, okay, this is a little excessive, Gabe and Rome delivered. I think they made, I loved it because this, it started off thinking the cast was like, oh, they're very reasonable people. You know, we've got John narrating episode one. I'm like, oh, you know, 46 could never be this concise. But we had those messy moments, and I loved that. I honestly loved that the idols were making these ridiculous moments happen. So I think the episode wouldn't have been as entertaining if it was just, you know, Sam or Caroline or Genevieve or John, you know, speaking very rationally. We need those hot mess moments.
Yeah, I think there was a, not so much a concern, but I think when we were doing our preseason content, Will kept saying, this cast is so excited. They're so excited. They're so excited. And sometimes when you get a really excited cast, they do try to play it more game body. They're a little more rational because they've seen it so much. They're so pumped to finally have their opportunity. I feel like I might fall into that a little bit if I ever got the chance. I feel like part of my personality might die so that I could be like a little more cerebral about it. This cast didn't seem all that cerebral about it. Really, the only one who seemed to be playing with like a brain in the first episode, or at least that we saw, was Teenie, when Teenie was running around going, Rome is a mess and I'm going to be the leader of everybody behind me, like saying that I'll work with Rome, but if he's going to act like this, I'm going to vote Rome out. And having the ability to get everybody on your side, I thought Teenie did a great job. And I know there were others throughout that episode, but I just thought that was one example of somebody whose personality still shone through, but also was like thinking, because Rome wanted to play aggressively, but how aggressively are we playing right now?
Yeah, shout out Rome. I was dying laughing, but also I was yelling at the TV because I'm thinking, you can do that at night, bro. Like, if you know you have to go to the water well, like, what is the rush? Especially, it's probably, I think it was like day one or day two. I don't know. It was before the next challenge. Like, you know, you have at least one night where you're going to be able to grab that key. And for me, I mean, well, I didn't even look for no idols because I didn't want none of that on me.
That's why you made it to fire instead of getting voted out on your season.
Amen. Amen. It was one or the other. I just didn't know it, but I picked that one. Anyway, yeah, I'm yelling at Gabe at the TV too. Like, just wait a few hours. When people get tired, especially those first few days, I was way more tired the first 72 hours than the last 72 hours. It was like, you know, you're detoxing from everything. You're getting used to the cameras. You're getting used to the cameras telling you not to look at the cameras. You know, like, there's so much going on. And I'm like, slow your rolls, babe.
Yeah. All right. Before I like forget, I just want to drop this in real quick for everybody. So if you're a top tier patron, you can participate in the Power Rankings game. Liz and I are going to be doing the Power Rankings in just a second here. We're going to be diving in. So if you're a top tier patron, you can play along. It works differently this year. I know in the past, everybody's just emailed us. We partnered with Real TV Fantasy. I want to say Real TV Fantasy, but that just sounds stupid. Real TV Fantasy. So I sent a link to all of our top tier patrons. It's in a community chat over there. So if you sign up late or if you sign up now, today, tomorrow, whatever, doesn't matter. You'll be able to go over there, click the link, and you'll be able to get right in and sign up. Right now, only 13 of our patrons have. So come on in. Also, you're going to be playing for a prize. I talked about it over on one of my Patreon episodes about what the prizes potentially could be. I'm still kind of sorting that out for these. But right now, you'd have a 1 in 13 chance of winning that prize, which is significantly better than the odds of winning the prop bet game or the over-under game. So that's nice. So become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist, and you can participate in the Power Rankings game and a whole bunch more content that we have coming out. So I just wanted to drop that in before I forget. Otherwise, I'll forget because Liz and I are just going to keep talking about what a mess Rome is and Gabe and all of that. I will say, you mentioned the nighttime thing. Rome did go back at night. He at least did realize, right? Because he, at least with the one on the path, he realized.
You're right. Sorry, Rome. You're probably watching because it's that first week feeling.
Rome's been following us for a while. So I know that Rome is out there. I'm sure at some point I'll say something that'll make him mad and he'll be like, forget you, Phil. I'm not listening anymore.
Life goes on. Just say whatever you want to say. I mean, I had so much, we'll say, bad press, but I loved it because I knew what I did out there. I knew, oh, shout out Rome. Oh my God. I love that so much. Rome is such a sweetie. I love him. He is my number one power rank. now that he's here in the chat.
I know we should have had you start the rankings before he got here so you didn't put the guy who's covered in water running from his tribe at number one. But
that's so funny. Rome and I are so similar because I was all up in all the live chats like all day, every day. But I loved it. Like I can clown on myself for sure. Like I know what I looked like out there.
I think too, you know, for you as somebody who did kind of go through it, right? You were about to get into that. You start off, everybody thinks you're a billionaire. I meet you at the Ron Clark event. The only reason I was actually nervous to talk to you. So when you approached me, I was like, how do you talk to billionaires? What do you do? Like, how do you do this? And I worked in Hollywood. So like I was around a lot of multimillionaires, but not to the level of what you were on Survivor. So when you were approaching, I was like, damn, I don't know how to talk to Liz. And obviously it all came out that like, you know, eventually after the show that you were kind of playing that up, that was going to be your storyline if you got to final three and all of that. But we saw some raw moments from you. We saw you starving. We saw you not being able to eat things. You had the questions from people all over the internet. Why did you even go out there? If you can't eat this, if you can't eat rice, why are you playing the game of Survivor? What's your advice to the players who are on this season, who are probably pumped about it? I mean, Andy's probably already going through it. But what's your advice to these people right now as they're going through week one already learning whether they're going to get that good edit or that shit edit that's just going to come through?
Yeah, I think just own your game. I think the people that I've seen, players that have watched their own edit back and struggled, the things I've heard from them are like, oh, well, that's not how it happened. Or I didn't think people would perceive it that way. But you just have to own what you did. And understand, like, you know, the edit is the 19th castaway, right? And it's the only castaway that actually, it's the actual winner of Survivor, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me in those dark times, we'll say, it was just like, wait, I was actually there. And also at the same time, like, because I love myself, I don't actually have to prove myself to these people on the internet or even like friends and family that are like, what the heck, Liz? You know, what the heck, Hobag? What are you doing out there? It's like, well, I was there and I have nothing to prove. I did the best I could do. I literally gave my entire being to get fourth place. And you know what? That's how I did it. And, you know, I have nothing to prove. So, you know, if you're listening out there, Rome and friends, like you have nothing to prove. Like, please enjoy this. You already starved. You've already been traumatized in one way or the other. Like, why not just enjoy it?
Yeah. No, I think that's great advice. I mean, I know that's so hard for people, right? To just turn it off, especially when you're like, okay, I got to play Survivor. Now I'm ready to watch myself star in Survivor. And unfortunately, right? Like there's really only going to be two or three stars every season of Survivor. That's the unfortunate truth of it, no matter what. I mean, I like to think about heroes versus villains. Was Ceree on that season? And remember, Ceree is like as huge as she is. So yeah, it's always tough. And I feel like, you know, Andy... I know Andy had a good tweet the other day where he was just like, I haven't read anything that anybody said, but thank you all so much for the nice words. I'm sure they've been nice or something like that. And I just thought that was funny. I'm like, I know he's probably read stuff, but at the same time, you have to kind of find a way to find that Brandon Donlan approach to everything.
Just have fun with it. Right. Like nobody, I mean, I feel like I was the clown of my season, but I was like, well, if I'm the clown, like, you know, come round the jester. Let's have some fun with this, you know?
Mm-hmm. What is one thing, before we get into the rankings, what's one thing you wish they would have shown of you that didn't end up making the cut? Is there anything that stands out?
Maybe two things. Number one, I wish they would have shown me and my strategy. Like, hey, I'm pretending to be a millionaire. Hey, I'm voting out my tribe on purpose so that they're on the jury. Hey, I'm like strategy would have been nice. But I think one thing that wasn't, you had to like really like me to see it, if that makes sense, is I am very much a people person. I think people really liked me on the island. And, you know, that's the reason why I made it so far with zero votes. You know, you don't make it that far without zero votes if people don't want to be around you. You know, it's, and another, you know, who was it? Romeo in season 42. It's like, throw some votes on Romeo. Right. Because they were like, he's kind of annoying or whatever it was about him that they didn't want, you know, they wouldn't mind if he was away. Yeah. Right. And so you don't make it that far without people liking you and without making really solid connections. And that's something I wish that they could have shown of like, oh, wow, people actually like Liz, you know.
She's who is your closest out there?
Myself. I was close. Like I loved myself. I was my number one ally. I didn't trust anyone but myself, but I did get very close. I was very close with Tevin and Hunter pre-merge. And then during the merge, I got incredibly, incredibly close with Kenzie.
Mm. Gotcha. Well, before we jump into these rankings, which you're going to do right now, I just want to throw these two up. This is Sarah. Liz, I love you. I never jumped to a video so fast.
Hey, Sarah.
And then we have this one here, Cody Brayman. I'm pissed I'm late to this podcast.
Glad you're here, Cody. Don't be a hoe bag. Show up on time next time, okay?
I'm telling you, everybody, but everybody else who just showed up late, don't be a hoe bag next time. It's okay this time.
Okay.
So we're going to rank these players 1 to 17. Again, if you're a patron who's participating in the game, you want to put your safest person at the top and the person you think's going home at the bottom, okay? So make sure you do it that way. Don't be putting at 17 the person you think is safest. Don't get that confused. Bottom is bad. Liz, I'll let you do the honors. Who do you have as the safest person this week?
Teeny. I think Teeny, like Phil said, maybe 5-10 minutes ago, has really set themselves up for success, you know, in this early stage of the game. Everyone seems to want to work with them. There's no like red flags. It's all green flags for Teeny right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. Not my number one this week, but I do think they have a very good chance of kind of running this game. And what I think was funny is in the pregame press, Teeny was talking about, I'm really good at talking to a lot of people. And a lot of times when you hear that, you're like, okay, where have you gone? What have you done that you're so confident, especially at 20? I think Teeny's only 24 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And then you watch this first episode and you're like, oh, damn, Teeny's really good at talking to a lot of people. Like there's something there. So,
yeah. And I put them at number one also because I can't remember the names of the tribes yet. The red tribe.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to go to tribal. I think we're going to just see one of those more ridiculous, oh, they just keep losing red. You know, they don't have their supplies, but I think they're so insulated that they'll be totally fine.
Yeah, no, I am totally, totally in agreement here. I think that everything we talk about in like the first 15 to 20 minutes of this power rankings is kind of going to be a moot point, because I think yellow is just going to lose again. I think yellow is just, I think they're in so much trouble, and red really, like, I don't think it can be understated how good and how much red dominated that immunity challenge. Like, they won that challenge so fast it survived. The editors didn't even show them doing the puzzle. The editors are just like, yeah, they're done with the puzzle.
Right. Like, right.
It's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, they never do that. There's always some sort of fake drama in there to make it seem like something has gone awry. And that just did not happen this week. So, but ultimately I'm actually going to go with somebody from that tribe, and I'm going to take Sam and put Sam at number one. And I almost got a sigh there. What's up?
No, I really debated, like, when I asked Phil this morning, I was like, wait, how do we do the power rankings?
And, meanwhile, I thought you were listening to every minute I've ever spoken. Right.
And the first person I thought of was like Sam, but it was, for me, it was only because of like the edit. I was like, oh, the edit is making him look really good. Like, it was just enough. But then I was like, okay, well, just based off episode one, we're not trying to like play 4D chess here, Liz. You know, I just didn't see as much from him on making bonds. So I ranked him a little lower.
I think what really got me with Sam, and the reason why I put him at number one, is I think if that tribe loses again, he's almost in the Sabaya spot, which is a great spot to be in until episode three. Like, that's a great spot to be in right now. Annika seems like she's being a little bossy, but like the sweetest little boss there ever was. I don't feel like she's like getting, I don't feel like she's getting like the aggressive boss. You know what I mean? I feel like she's getting, I'm telling you what to do, but nobody's really saying to her, damn, she is grating. Like, she is getting on my nerves. So I feel like that's okay, but it could start to get old for people if she keeps going. And then you have Andy, who just had the meltdown in episode one. John is gone. If they start to feel he's not trustworthy, that's not going to be good. Sam, when the two guys went off and walked together, Sam just sat there with the ladies and was like, hey, let's do this. This is going to be awesome. Like, here's the four of us. We'll be the ones who do well. And I do think that if Sierra and, oh man, who's the other woman? Rachel. If Sierra and Rachel want to turn and get rid of somebody other than Andy, I think it would be Annika, because I think the only way they're changing is if Annika drives them crazy. So I think Sam is just, plus you can't vote out the actual strongest person physically on your tribe when you've lost the first one and then you're going to lose another. You just can't do it.
Amen. I agree.
Yeah. How was that being on that tribe with Hunter to start the season last year? Was that nice?
Oh gosh, I wanted us to lose so bad. I was like, Hunter, could you not? I'm so ready to play the game. And it's so funny because the opening scene, you know, the opening mat chat and all that, it took us hours to actually be able to film that because the seas were so bad. And Hunter, sweet baby Hunter, like, he couldn't use the bathroom in front of us. Like, he couldn't pee. He's so shy and like modest. And all I was like, first boot. Like, in my head, I was like, he can't even trust us to go to the bathroom. He's not vibing. And then, of course, the second he opened his mouth and, you know, picked up a puzzle piece, I was like, Liz, you're an absolute moron. There's no way anyone's ever voting him out. You better be best friends.
I love that.
But it was great. It was Hunter is a lovely human. It was nice to like keep winning, but at the same time, I was so excited for the game. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, you got to play, even if you don't feel like your strategy was shown and stuff, you certainly got to play in one of the more interesting post-merge games I think Survivor's ever had in the history of the show. That post-merge was insane.
Thank you. I'll take all the credit. Thank you.
Pats on back. Until I get the next post-merge person, I'm gonna be like, oh yeah, you and Liz, you both were so good. But I don't know who that person would be. So for now, you get all of that credit. It's all on your back.
Wonderful.
Who do you have it to?
I have Asia at number two. I think even though she didn't bring home the tribe, you know, supplies, the fact that people were still talking to her, and my number one, Teeny, went up to her and was trying to take her into consideration. There must be a vibe there that everyone is really, really liking. So I think similar to Teenie. She's incredibly insulated right now.
Yeah, I love the spot that Asia is in. I actually have Asia at number two as well. I feel like everybody always asks, because, you know, I've been doing this now for way too long, 10 years, 9 years, something like that. Been doing this like nonstop. And people are always like, if you or Alexa or Will, whichever one of us we're podcasting with, ever got cast onto Survivor, how do you think you'd play it and what would happen? And I was like, after seeing how Teenie reacted to Asia, first of all, let me know, nobody would recognize me worth shit, because people didn't realize it was Asia except for really Teenie. At least from what we've seen, Teenie's the only one who knew. And then second, I was like, that Teenie's the exact type of person I'd want out there. What benefit is there for Teenie to go out there and say, hey, everybody, Asia does a Survivor podcast on Rob Has a Podcast? Because everybody's going to look at Teenie and go, how do you know that? Why do you know that? So you have all this information, huh? So you're a big fan. And so I actually think it really worked out for Asia that she's on the tribe with Teenie. And Teenie played it as perfectly as you possibly can. And I think Asia came back empty-handed, but she's not causing chaos the way that Rome is. She's got Teenie, who feels like kind of the leader over there. If I'm sitting there watching this play out after episode one, I'm feeling like Teenie, Asia, those two are going to be the power couple on the Red Tribe moving forward. So yeah, I love that you have that one too. I actually have Teenie at three, so not much further down. Just felt like Asia and Sam deserved a little bit more recognition above Teenie.
Awesome. Yeah. So at number three, I have Sue. And number one, because a couple people were coming up to her, you know, oh, I want her to be my number one. Like, oh, most people. And it's funny, they probably all have the same, you know, line of thought. Oh, most people will count her out, so she's going to be my number one, which is working to her advantage like crazy. And also, she's on the Blue Tribe, whatever they're named. And I don't think they're going to go to Tribal Council either. So I think she's in a really good spot to continue to mold those relationships and solidify them.
So on your season, I think the oldest person was Maria, right? She was 48. Mm-hmm. Maria was the oldest, and you didn't play with Maria until you hit the merge and everything like that. And then, you know, she wins a couple of immunities and all that. Do you think, and I don't know, like, when you get onto this beach, is your mind still going, oh man, oldest person out there, we got to vote them out? Because I feel like older castaways have done really well recently. And now you're going to look at somebody like Sue, who in season 34 might have been an obvious first boot. Yeah. But instead, you're putting her at three in the power rankings. And I think she's in a great spot too. What do you think that, do you have any insight into why that's happening?
Well, I think it's the same reason I pretended to be a millionaire. Everyone's watching those first 30, 40 seasons and thinking, how can I do this differently? Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, how can I predict what they're thinking and use it to my advantage? So for me, it was, well, I know we used to play a game where if you had money, you got voted out. But now it's like, oh, maybe I'll keep her to the end because no one's going to vote for her, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's the same with the older people of like, oh, it used to be, oh, we need tribe strength. But now the game is 26 days. It's like, actually, I need somebody who feels scared and who is thinking her tribe thinks that. And so therefore, I'm going to, you know, make them an ally.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's really interesting because, I mean, we saw it work really well for, you know, even though obviously the debacle at the end of the season, but like Charlie and Maria, they were able to make that work because it was just a twosome nobody expected. It was somebody nobody expected. And now here we have Sue playing with Gabe. That was not on my bingo card when I was looking through the cast at the beginning of the season at all. I never thought that that's the pair that would have lit up together.
Yeah, that's so interesting because I knew Charlie and Maria were working together from day one. It was very obvious. So that's funny that you think, oh, nobody would expect that. I was like, yeah, they're like holding hands, basically.
I think the other thing, though, is like Gabe and Charlie have a little bit different of a personality. Gabe's coming out there saying, I don't want to have friends. I don't want to do any of this. And Charlie's like, I love Survivor. Like,
woo-hoo. I love everybody. Yeah, that's so funny. But yeah, it is an unexpected couple. And I think Sue is just savvy enough. You know, she's a business owner, you know, and she's also like ripped. Did y'all see her with the puzzle piece? Like put that in the chat, like hashtag ripped, right? Like I was like, oh, she's good. She's good. They're not voting her out anytime soon.
Yeah, I was very impressed with that too. And like, I mean, she looks jacked, but sometimes like, you know, you can look jacked, but if you're a little bit older, like it can just wear you down eventually. We saw that with Jill Del Campo, like back all the way in Michelle Fitzgerald season. It just got to him eventually. 72 years old playing Survivor. It doesn't matter how jacked you are. But yeah, Sue carrying that puzzle piece like it was a toothpick. I was like, all right, there we go.
Good yeah, job. it was giving Tiff from season 46, like just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Not a care in the world. So you go Teeny, Asia, Sue. Who do you have at number four?
I have Caroline, and simply because we didn't see much of her, and I felt like if she's gonna go next, we might have seen a little bit more from her. And she did was I can't remember, was Caroline, who was she talking to? So she was making some connections. Yeah, yeah. So she was making that connection. Sue is super smart, so she's going to want to keep those people that are, you know, insulating her, so to speak. So I think Caroline's in a good position simply because Sue is in such a great position.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say that. So I have TK next, also from that Blue Tribe. So you've done two now from the Blue Tribe, and I've now talked about one person from this Blue Tribe, but I just feel like this tribe's not going to lose. And I feel like what we focused on in this first episode was Gabe finding his idol and then telling Sue about it. We had Sue. The only thing we heard from Caroline was her and Sue having some sort of relationship. And then we have TK come back, and all of a sudden every guy on the tribe is just going goo goo over TK. And so I feel like TK is in a really good spot. And I feel like Caroline's in a good spot. I feel like Sue's in a good spot. I feel like the dynamic on that tribe felt like the dynamic on your tribe in that early first two episodes where we didn't really hear much. We were just hearing from who the key players, who the deep players in the game were going to be. And so that does make me feel pretty good for Sue. And it does make me feel pretty good for TK and Caroline. It doesn't really make me feel much for Gabe because they were going to show us everything that happened with him no matter what. But yeah, I have TK at four, but Caroline impressed me a little bit in this episode too, because I wasn't sure how she was going to fit in with everybody, but it seemed like she had no problem at all.
Yeah. She seemed friendly. What we saw from her were, you know, good clips, right? She's smiling, she's talking, she's with the group. So I think she's in a good position for sure.
And who do you have at five?
I have Keyshawn. For a very similar reason, you know, didn't see, I think he had one confessional. We didn't see much from him. I don't think the tribe is going to go, to council, and we didn't see him making as many connections, but I didn't see anyone looking at him sideways.
Yeah. Keyshawn's a tough one, right? Is it Keyshawn? I feel like I haven't heard anybody else say his name like on
Rome,
the show.
Rome, tell us in the comments.
Yeah. I need that like soon. But so his one confessional was great. I loved his one confessional, but then he just disappeared. And I was like, but he's got such a big personality. Let's bring him back. And it just didn't happen. So I think that we're going to hear more from him before we go. I don't have him in my danger zone, but I'm just not ready to put him here just yet.
Yeah. It's giving fourth place fire. we got to give him something.
Speaking from experience, I feel like now we have to just lock that in and just say, okay, it's already been determined. We all know he's finishing fourth place on this season.
I hope that's not true for whoever lost fire. At my premiere party, when I didn't have a confessional until it was like over an hour in, my family was like, what the heck? I was like, oh gosh, I knew it.
It's always funny how that works though, right? You go all the way back to season two, Tina Wesson does not get a confessional in the premiere. And she's like the first player in Survivor history not to get a confessional. And then she wins the damn season. And you're just like, what are the editors doing?
You never know. You think they have a little bit more of like a science to it now, but also they can't have a science because then people will guess, right? You know, there's a whole group on that, right? So I don't know. I'm rooting for you, Keyshawn or Keyshawn. You're so adorable.
I know. I kept saying Anika instead of Annika because there weren't two N's, and I've only seen Annika spelled with two N's, and somebody in the chat said Anika, and then I got called out for it. So it's hard. It's hard when I'm like not used to the names every time, and then I just say them wrong over and over again. So hopefully it's Kashan and we're saying it right and we're good.
We're just boring white people with boring white people names. We're Phil, trying our best.
Liz, like it's too easy.
Phil and Liz, right.
I know. And then I'm sitting here and I'm like, man, people are going to be judging me so hard for not being able to pronounce these names. And I'm just like, I'm sorry.
He's doing great. Phil's doing great. Let's give him some love in the chat, please. He's doing great.
All right. So where am I? I am at my five. I have Rachel at five. So I'm going back to the Yellow Tribe again. And I feel like Rachel's in a great spot. I feel like Rachel dominated that puzzle to start off the season. I thought she was super likable on her tribe. She's not Andy and she's not. Who did I say earlier? She's not Andy and she's not Annika. So Rachel to me is in a very good spot. I feel like her, Sierra, and Sam are going to end up being the ones who are running that tribe. And I just think she has a great personality. I think she popped a lot more in this episode than I was expecting her to before the season began.
Okay.
We got somebody catching up right now. They just threw the code. They just caught up to that part. So here we are.
Shout out, Cody.
Who do you have at six?
At six, I have Kyle simply because I like Kyle and I'm trying to manifest this for him. he's a Michigan boy. I'm a Michigan girly. I just love his story. I want him to have as much money as he possibly can to go home and build a life for his family. So that's why I have him at number six, because we didn't really see much of him.
That was another brutal one. Him and Kashan back to back. Fantastic, like one confessional, but then got nothing else. And you sit there and you're like, okay, like Kyle, what a backstory. Let's hear more about this. And instead it was like, hey, I have four stoplights in my town. Bye. Like never.
Gnarly.
Yeah. Like, that was it. I hope we hear from him before like October 20th now, because I can totally see Kyle, if he gets on a winning tribe, being that player who just kind of falls to the background a little bit. Which would be a bummer.
But it would be a bummer. He seems like he's got a great personality, but it might be similar to what Phil asked me, oh, what do I wish they showed? And I said, oh, I wish they showed how well I got along with everyone. Maybe, you know, I'm hoping Kyle is a similar type of player that's just getting along with everyone, but maybe he's not making a big move anytime soon. So he's kind of in the background right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I have Sue at six, so finally have Sue. Not much further behind than you, still way higher than, like I said, I just feel like the game of Survivor's changed so much. Normally it would be, hey, I got the 40-plus-year-old woman, and you're automatically putting that player in your bottom three or four for the entire pre-merge. And I just think that's changed. I just think the game has become so much more social. People really aren't worried about him. We saw a season five seasons ago, where Jonathan goes all the way to Final Four and makes fire and gets knocked out, and he was one of the strongest people to ever play. So I don't think people are concerned with it. And if Hunter would have played his idol last season, who knows how deep Hunter would have gone. So I like the eye roll. I needed that.
Sweet baby Hunter. We love him so much.
Oh, Hunter, if you could go back, come on, man. So yeah, I have Sue there. I just feel like I love Sue. What I got from her in this first episode, a lot going on. And I was entertained the entire time. So I got her high.
Awesome. Well, at number seven, I have Sierra. I really, honestly, I watched the episode twice and I can't really remember much about her. So to me, it's giving merge boot. So she's somewhere in the middle there. Sorry, Sierra. You're so cute.
Sierra's a funny one, because I feel like she was right in the premiere, but like, we didn't hear enough from her to like really know where she stands with anything. And I'm just lumping her in with Sam and Rachel, as that's the trio on that tribe, just because we saw negative stuff from Gabe and we saw negative stuff from Annika. But I don't know. For me, I'm like, I agree with you. What did Sierra do in this episode? Like, what was Sierra's defining moment even? Like, what even was the confessional that she got? Do you remember what she said?
I don't, but I, now that you lay it out like that, like, oh, we saw a negative from this person and that, so she must be, you know, working on that other side. And yeah, I think that's why she's placed for me like somewhere in the middle. So we didn't see that defining moment, but she's also there. And I think we would have seen more of her if she was going to be like a superpower player or, you know, the next to go. We would have seen something memorable.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so at my, I have Sierra at 8, and then at my 7, I have Tiana. Also kind of falls into the boat, I feel like, with Sierra a little bit. Tiana was my preseason winner pick, so I still have hope. There's just something about flight attendants on Survivor. They just always find a way. And so I really like Tiana's chances in this situation, but I don't feel like what we got from her, it was funny. She had a couple little things there. I think she's the one who made the comment about the guys are in love with TK. But aside from that, I didn't get much. I'm just kind of banking on the fact that this blue tribe is going to be fun. They have to finish third, right? It's not if you just get second, you have to finish third. And I just don't see the blue tribe with the people they have over there losing to both tribes. And I feel like this week, especially, yellow is just in for that Lulu moment of like, oh darn, we're going to lose again. And then Sierra, yeah, at 8, I don't really know if there's anything else to say about Sierra beyond what we've already said, because we just didn't get anything.
Right, right. So at 8 for me, I have Saul. He's not going home. He's not going anywhere. We didn't really see much of like who and what he is, but the same as Hunter, he's not going anywhere. That man is a beast. I was like, okay, sir, who is this? I'm like, let me turn up the light on my laptop. I need to see this in full effect. So I don't think, even if his tribe did go, or does go, he's going anywhere. And then there was a secret scene between Rome and him, which I thought was hysterical, because Saul was being a genuine guy. I thought he was laying low. I thought he was like, hey, Rome, people are kind of looking at you sideways, bro. And Rome took it totally the wrong way, which I think is, I can't wait to see more from those two. I really hope it comes to a clash somehow. Because that would just be super entertaining. But yeah, Saul, I think, is well insulated simply because he's going to help bring his tribe to victory.
Did you see Survivor Super Fun Times tweet about he's built like the Wall Street Bull? Is that?
Oh my gosh. I think I did see that. Kevin is so funny.
Once you see that, you really cannot get that out of your head now. And I mean, yeah, Saul could get the oldest guy in the season. It's like, yeah, okay.
Okay. I love it. And I used to tell my tribe, another crazy thing I told my tribe in the beginning to kind of have them just be like, oh, that's just Liz, whatever, she's so ridiculous, was that I didn't really watch Survivor ever. I only watched for the hot guys. And I used to tell like Tevin and Hunter and Randon, like they'd put their shirts back on after whatever. And I'd be like, why are you doing that? Like, you look so good, babe. And my sister told me, she was like, do not go on the show and harass men. And I was like, it's not harassing, I'm flirting. And she's like, you are you're gonna get a lawsuit.
Fine line, right? Like, fine
yeah,
line.
I was like, whatever, I'm harmless. But Hunter, I did say it to him one time, and he was like, so I was like, I'm sorry, I won't comment on your skin anymore.
As you're just like softly petting his soft.
Right. Hair. I'm like, who's sleeping next to me tonight? No, I'm kidding. I slept alone.
Yeah, I was just saying, not, well, it was because all these comments, every guy, they were like, all right, Liz, you go on that side. I'm going to wait for her to lay down, and then we're going to go over here.
That's literally. Literally.
Well, now that I know that.
Anything to throw them off. Anything to throw them off. What number are we on?
You're on number 9. We're right at the halfway point.
Okay, I've got Sam at number 9. Because I want to root for him. I love the wolf in wolf's clothing. I think we saw so much of him, like in a great, positive, like perfect lighting, that he can't possibly be in the best position. But he's in a good one.
Yeah, I also like the whole glue guy speech. The glue guy speech was so good, because that just to me says this is a guy who not only understands the game that he's playing, but like he also understands why it's integral to Survivor and what Survivor tribes actually need, to like understand everybody needs that one guy who can bring everybody together, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, all right, this guy has a head for the game. And I think it's gonna continue to shine.
Yeah. And one of the reasons I ranked him lower than like my initial reaction was because he is on that tribe where it's like John could have filled that same role and they got rid of him immediately. And we didn't really get an exact answer as to why. So it's like, maybe they could, you know, turn the tables on. Oh, this guy's super smart too. Let's just get, we're already losing. Let's just get him out. You know, mm-hmm. you never know what people are thinking. So I ranked him a little lower because of his tribe's previous actions.
Yeah. And anytime you go to tribal council, anything can happen. It doesn't matter how good of a position you're in. It really doesn't. Like anytime you go to tribal council, something can go wrong that sends you home. And, you know, a shot in the dark could be all it takes and Sam is gone. So mm-hmm. just the fact that he's going to be one yeah. of the five people going to tribal council in most scenarios. Yeah.
Right.
That makes yeah. sense. Mm-hmm. I want to give a quick update here again on Cody. I'm at work and keep having to pause the video. So now in 20 minutes, when he catches up to this point, he'll give us the next update on what's
going on. We love you, Cody.
Thanks keep hanging in there, Cody. You're doing great. What am I on? So I'm on 9. I actually have Genevieve here.
Okay.
Another one, really quiet and everything. I do feel like the thing with Genevieve is just that out of everybody on this cast, she's just somebody who's going to be quiet. I feel like if Genevieve wins this season, what we saw from her in episode 1 is probably what we're going to see from her consistently throughout the season. I just don't feel like she has, and I'm not saying it as a bad thing, she just doesn't have the personality to match what Rome and Gabe and like Sue are bringing to the table right now. So I could see Genevieve falling to the back a little bit, but she's kind of reminds me of Michelle Fitzgerald, where it's going to be one of those where if she keeps getting confessionals, that probably means she's going to either win or get really far in the game. Because I do feel like just from that one confessional I heard from her, I'm like, this is the type of player that Survivor generally will give 1 here, skip an episode, 2 here, skip an episode. So I'm curious what'll happen, but I don't feel like she's in danger of actually going home this week.
That's you got me questioning my system over here. That's a good point. That is a really good point.
I've watched way too much Survivor and just talked about hypotheticals so often that you start to believe.
Well, that's what makes him the specialist. Guys.
You just believe your own hypotheticals.
you have to be delusional. I know people tell me almost every day how delusional I am. And I'm like, yes, I'm so delusional. How the heck do you think I got on Survivor? Right? Like, it's delusional to think you could apply and be on, mm-hmm. you know, so delusional, mm-hmm. but I did it. All right. We're at number 10 now.
10.
I have Rachel at 10. I know you said, oh, she's in a good position. But honestly, this is like, maybe I am an emotional player. She just gave me the ick. So I like lowered her rank. But also because she was like so anti going off with Andy. And I will preface to say, like, obviously I was on an island with someone who was so emotionally exhausted, and I saw like all my peers really take care of that person, that I was just in shock that wasn't her initial reaction, mm-hmm. like genuinely like jaw on the floor. Like, what? And so for me, like, if they have players like that and they kept Andy, right? It's like, okay, well, we want to keep Andy, but, you know, if Andy's upset with Rachel, maybe Rachel is the one to go because we need Andy in our back pocket.
I really like that point. And I kind of forgot about that because it's one of those situations, and I'm not saying I don't want to make it seem as though I believe that she was bullying Andy here, because I feel like she just was reacting in a way that was like,
she was just, yeah, it was a genuine reaction. Right? I don't think she was bullying anyone at all.
But it is one of those things where, like, when everybody teams up on somebody, it's easy to dismiss that person and just be like, okay, like, whatever, everybody was acting that way. And then eventually what ends up happening is somebody at the top there isn't as in as they think they are. In like mm-hmm. the jokes that are going on. And I don't think Rachel's in a bad spot, but I hadn't really thought about the fact of like, if the rest of the tribe just really likes Andy, then they could see that as a moment of like, why were you not nicer to Andy at this time? And I mean, you had it with Ben. I mean, and we saw it throughout the season with Ben. And I know Ben, we had Ben on for a tell-all, and he talked about how it wasn't just Kenzie, it was everybody. Like, everybody was getting up with him and helping him and doing all that. This early in the game, what do you think you would have done in this scenario? Would you have just been like, screw it, I guess I'm sitting up and talking to him? Or would you have been
anyone that wants to talk to me 72 hours in, like, babe, let's talk. And because there's nothing is solidified. And also, this is a game where I have to get votes at the end, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not going to make you feel like shit about reaching out to me on like day two or whatever it was. And now you have 24 days to harbor a resentment against me. And maybe you go to the jury and you're like, oh, I knew she was a joke when she wouldn't help me XYZ. Mm-hmm. Like, she's thinking about the here and now, which you have to think about, but you have to also think about, you know, if you're playing to win, you're thinking about day 26.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can't predict. I have no spoilers, but if I was Andy, I wouldn't vote for her if she was final three and I was on the jury. Mm-hmm. She isolated me in the first 72 hours. Are you kidding?
I feel like it would have been an easy thing to go back to the tribe with too, of like, what were you guys doing? Well, he was having a bit of a panic attack. So I sat down with him. I don't feel like it was a hard, they could say, oh, you were scheming. It's like, go talk to Andy right now and tell me.
Literally, she's giving paranoia because there's a difference. And I know this simply because of, I mean, I had my own emotional breakdowns. Ben did. I mean, there's a difference between, you know, oh, they're going off and that's suspicious. Like, and oh, they're going off. So-and-so looks really like genuinely upset about something that has nothing to do with the game. And I think almost every player, I mean, this is why you get on Survivor. You can distinguish between those two, let's say like energies or vibes. Right. And at the end of the day, like, it's a game for votes. So like, sister, you really went lower in the ranking when you did that for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Early on, though, still plenty of time to rebound.
Rachel. I'm rooting for a Michigan girly. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, at my number 10, I have Caroline. Finally putting her in here. I just have her more in the middle just because if things did go south on that tribe, perhaps they would look and say, you know what? Caroline, she's not the strongest person on the tribe. Maybe she's not the most insulated on the tribe. So I could see them maybe voting her out, but I just don't see that tribe losing. I really, really, really don't see that tribe losing. So yeah, I got her there at number 10.
That makes sense.
Who's your 11?
11, Rome, the host. I love Rome. Rome is honestly the only person from this season who's reached out to me. He's super cool. But bro, like, the walking away when you're wet.
Mm.
For me, I would have come up with any excuse to sit there, like to stand there. Like, oh my gosh, I dropped my cap, you know, because I would have ripped the cap off of my damn whatever water canteen and thrown it in there and been like, can somebody help me sift this out? And I, you know, like, and then I would have just been in there, be like, hold my legs. Mm-hmm. You know, any creative excuse. Don't walk away. That's the ultimate suspicion. Or just like, hey, there's an idol in this water well, you know, and then just like throw it in the fire. I don't know. Like, anything other than that, that was just terrible. So I have him a little lower simply because, like, yes, I think, did he get the idol? I can't remember.
They have not actually given us the conclusion of this storyline. So we have not seen him yet.
Okay. So he technically doesn't have a vote. He's acting super sus. The secret scene, the one person who's trying to reel him in, he's like, nah, dog, I'm good. Thanks. it seems like what Phil said earlier in the episode, very excited. And you really have to curb your enthusiasm those first few days.
And look, like, I am ready to, I will root for Rome every minute he's on. Same thing you said. He's reached out.
Same. I love him.
I love Rome. Huge fan of Rome. Want him to experience everything this game has to offer. But I got to be a realist when I'm coming to these rankings. And like you said, it's like you're Christmas shopping, right? And like, you're like, hey, like, all of a sudden my wife comes in the door behind me. You can see the door right behind me if you're watching right now. She comes in, I'm Xing out of the screen. She's going to sit there and go, what are you doing on the computer? Like, what could I not look at? Right. You know what I mean? And it's right. like immediately suspicion is going to be high. If I were to just open a new tab next to it and keep typing, be like, hey, like, give me a second. That's going to be a little bit different of a reaction. And yeah, right. I understand in the moment, his adrenaline is probably through the roof.
Absolutely.
Like, he is ready to roll, but your entire tribe was walking towards you. And I am curious, will Rome be able, if they go to tribal council right away, will Rome be able to overcome this? Or will it just be, hey, well, I found an immunity idol and I'm just going to play it. Like, I could see Rome being somebody who knows he's in a bad spot with his tribe right now. He gets this idol and says, I'm just going to take the one-time tribal idol because that might be all I need and I'll play it there and I'll get rid of somebody I want to.
Yeah, I think that would be so epic. And I think given that this cast just saw 46 play and they didn't see Q's idol, but they saw Jem, they saw Hunter. I can't even keep up. There was somebody else, Tiff. I mean, I was there. I can't even remember all of them, you know.
Don't forget Venus.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Venus. Shout out Venus. Yeah. So they just saw like half of those go down. Right. And so I'd like to think my darling Rome gets the idol and plays it if they go to tribal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that in mind, assuming that's how he's going to play it, I probably should have Rome right here. But I'm going to go, and I'm going to go two here because you've already talked about them both and there's really not much to say. I have Saul at 11 and then I have Kyle at 12. Yeah, we didn't really hear much from them. I feel like they're both probably going to be integral to their tribes, at least in the, you know, tribe portion of the game after that. I don't know what their relationships are going to be like, that they're going to go all that deep. But I just feel like, with the two of them, this is a good spot to put them in. And I might have just moved Rome up a spot because of what you said, but I'll save that and, you know, not just talk over you for the next like 3 minutes here. But quick Cody Brayman update. He finally got to the heart you gave him. So we're really cruising here. I love this for this guy right now.
That's funny. So are we at 12?
We are at 12. Yes. Yeah. So I just did Kyle as my number 12. So who do you have?
Okay. So I've got Genevieve for that same scenario with Rome. If Rome doesn't play his idol, I think Genevieve is out. She's, mm-hmm. We don't get a lot from her, but one thing we get is, I love Rome. Mm-hmm. And then we see Rome completely, you know, blowing up his own game basically, in those first 3 days. And so I think, if they go to tribal, they're like, oh, well, we'll just put some votes on Genevieve in case Rome plays an idol and she'll, you know, just get that, backfire. So that's
a really good
point them together.
Maybe I should have thought about that a little bit. Maybe I should have just like not assumed that yellow was absolutely 100% going to lose. Like maybe that shouldn't have been where my mind went, because Genevieve, that makes a lot of sense that Genevieve could easily be the person targeted, and especially if Rome is playing a one-time use idol.
Yeah,
which makes sense. It does.
You're welcome. And yeah. Also, yellow.
You told me these things before.
Yellow does have their tribe supplies. So unlike Yanu or whatever that other tribe was, the yellow tribe of 45, I can't remember their name. Lulu. Yeah. Okay.
Lulu,
give me a second. I'll get there. Yeah. They do have their supplies. So they are able to, you know, have fire, which hopefully helps them sleep better at night. It's just better for morale. I cannot imagine when I think about the sting of losing, but then I think about how awesome it is that Kenzie won and she lived 11 or 12 days without fire. I'm like, okay, babe, you can have it. I love you. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, and like that's something that doesn't translate to viewers anymore because they really have stopped talking about these things. Like I understand that everybody plays for supplies at the start of the game, but once they either acquire those supplies or don't acquire those supplies, that goes out of my brain. Jeff talks about, you know, sorry for you, I'm going to take your flint. And everybody goes, okay, what am I? I'm eating popcorn on my couch. Like I don't notice that person's missing their flint. And you don't mention it again ever until they get to the next tribal. And I'm like, wait, who lost their flint last time? Do they even have it? I don't remember. Right. And like, because of that, I think what you're saying there is something that if yellow turns it around, that probably will be the reason why. And I think people will ask the question of why is this tribe suddenly having success? You bringing up that point, I think only survivor players, people who've actually been out there without certain things, will understand how huge that is. Because to me, I'm just like, yeah, this tribe is set up to be a disaster. Of course, they're set up to be a disaster, but yeah, they're not set up to be the disaster that these other tribes were.
And y'all, it's cold out there at night. Like, it's miserable. I mean, I would sleep on the fire, like on the stones. Mm-hmm. And like, it was so, that to me was worse than not eating. Was just being cold and wet and not, you know, having the regular amenities. So I can only imagine what tribes who get their flint taken away is like. Like, I didn't have to go through that. So I think Yellow Tribe isn't as bad of a position as something like someone like Yanu, because they do have those supplies. So hopefully they can, you know, keep some morale up despite losing a member.
People forget too, because we're in the Northern Hemisphere, like they're technically shooting and
it's winter.
Like, winter. Yeah. I remember like when they were doing Ghost Island, I'm really close with Bradley, and Bradley told me that. And I was like, that never once dawned on me that you all shoot in winter. And no matter how hot, I mean, you're a Floridian, I live in Florida right now. It's like, no matter how hot your state is or your location is, there's always going to be colder nights and there's going to be things that are just going to make you miserable in winter months everywhere. So yeah, I didn't even think about
absolutely. Yeah. And y'all, I remember for our season, the producers did tell us it was unseasonably cold. Like, it was much colder than normal. And just last note, just a little fun story. So one night we were all at NAMI, we were all like outside stargazing, right? Well, of course we're outside, but we're like down at the beach. That's so funny. I used to be like, let's go inside. And it just meant like go up the stairs, like do the shelter. So we were out looking at the stars, and Venus and Soda, not to throw them under the bus, but they were like, oh my gosh, there's the Big Dipper. And Tevin, Hunter, and I were sitting next to each other, and Hunter goes, we're in the Southern Hemisphere. You can't see the Big Dipper here. That's my Hunter impression.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's
and pretty good. It's a little thicker, I think, than he actually has. But anyway, then we start. I don't think we told them. But if we did, I feel like Venus would have started arguing with us. I can't remember what actually happened. But we were like, yeah, that's right. We are in the Southern Hemisphere. You can't see the Big Dipper right now. Like, it was just very funny.
From that moment on, Venus and Hunter were just mortal enemies.
Dude, I don't know. I can't speak on it. I was there and I still am not sure what happened.
But everybody's buddy, they had their picture. They had their Instagram like glow up together, right? Their buddies.
Oh, they did. Yeah. Yeah. Which was honestly so shocking to me, but I loved it for them. I love the healing.
There you go. That's what we like to hear, even if the Big Dipper is only in the Northern Hemisphere. Okay. So who do you have at 13?
For some reason, I have TK. I think I forgot to write his name.
I was wondering if you forgot about him.
And TK is my winner pick. So I hope I'm wrong. And I'm going to show you guys what I actually have. So I actually have that I wrote Gabe down twice and I wrote Sierra down twice. So as Phil was going through his rankings, I was like, wait, who am I actually missing? Mm-hmm. I'm like, TK, oh no, sorry, babe. So I have TK wrongly at 13. Mm. He should probably be like where Saul is, or not Saul, because he's not going to, like Sierra. I'd probably switch them. But TK is my winner pick simply because he is the hottest guy on the cast. And I hope he makes it through every episode and gets a million and gets to keep those abs, you know? So I don't know why he's there. My bad, guys. I effed up. What do you
got? I love that's totally fine. That happened. I forget what I was doing. I was doing something and that happened to me. I think with the over under game, I might have done that. But no, that happens. It happens. I will say they keep showing Manu Bennett for this new show, The Summit, that's coming to CBS. I don't know if people know what Manu Bennett like first became famous for, but he was in the Spartacus TV show, which is badass. It's like the ultimate, like, just, it's a really good story. It looks like 300, but the story is so good. And Manu Bennett was in that. And Manu Bennett played Crixus, like one of the gladiators and stuff. And I will say, as I'm watching TK run around, I'm like, he could have been in that show. Like, this guy was the exact, like, all muscles, like I could have seen, like, this guy's going to have a career if he wanted to. If he ever wanted one, he could probably have a career in acting, because he is a damn good looking man, and he is good. And I thought his narration was stellar.
Yes, he's really good narrator, seemingly good at challenges, good looking guy, perfect teeth. TK, holler at me, you know, I'm looking for my house husband. So I know you have a job, but you know, that's so funny.
I like the idea of you being in Asia's position and reaching for the key and then just being like, all right, TK, now drag me back in.
And we were literally, I'm like, fine, I give up.
Yeah. Sorry, like, I can't swim. Please don't let me drown.
Like, you know, they used to say, like, you can huddle, not cuddle.
Mm-hmm.
Production, like, we couldn't like cuddle anymore. Mm-hmm. But they said like huddle, not cuddle. Anyway, shout out TK. Who do you have at number 13?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I might just dwell on this. We might just wrap up the podcast here. I finally have Rome. I am going to put Rome here. I think that it makes sense. What concerns me with Rome is he wants to play this game so aggressively. And so, like, in all his pregame press, this is another one, right? Teeny comes out, Teeny says, I am so good at talking to people. And I'm like, all right, sure you are. Uh-huh, let's see. But then again, Teeny's got that New Jersey thing going on. So of course Teeny's good at talking to people. I'm from New Jersey, of course. Look at this, of course. But more importantly, Rome comes out and says, I want to play this game aggressively. I'm going to win all these challenges. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, let's see what you got.
It's giving JD.
It's giving JD, except
money.
Except I have to say, the aggression from Rome in this first episode was at a level that even JD didn't hit. Like,
he came in doing what he said he was going to do, for sure.
Oh yeah. And so what concerns me with that is the logical thing. If your whole tribe catches you head first in a well, which I was concerned, I'm like, what if he flips in that well and can't get himself out? Like, is production going to pull him up by the ankles? Like, he could drown in that thing. Anyway. Okay. That would be my concern as somebody who's claustrophobic. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, everybody on his tribe thinks he's a threat now and thinks he's sketchy. So you get that idol. You're presented with this, this option. You're going to just take the one tribal council idol. Obviously. Yeah. Duh. No brainer. I don't know if Rome's going to. And that's why I put him down here at 13, because I think Rome could be the guy who says, no, I want the full idol. And then he tries to get the full idol. And I'm like, is it going to work? And will he be the person who holds on to his idol one tribal too long because he thinks his social game is better than it is? I don't know. But that's my biggest concern with Rome. So that's why I have him down here at 13. But if he does the logical thing, he could be the safest person this week.
Good points. I hope he does the illogical thing. I think either way, if they go to tribal, it will be incredibly juicy. So Rome, do your thing.
I agree. It will definitely be juicy. So who do you have at 14? We're down to the final four people here. So we're getting to it. Neither one of us have said Gabe, Annika, or Andy yet. So we have three of our bottom four are the same.
Okay, so we're on the same page here. I have Annika at 14. We saw some good things about her. Something that I thought about on my island time was, like, there's a different, and I talked about this in my casting, there's a difference between being a leader and a manager. You know, they always say, like, oh, leader is a bad word on Survivor. But I think Annika is doing a good job of being, like, a true leader and not a manager. She's just, hey, sprouted coconuts, which I wish we would have known about out there. Not that I was eating the coconut, but my tribe's mates would have had a lot more coconut out there. We didn't really know about the sprouted coconut until, like, towards the end. But anyway, I think she's in a good position. But I also think because Jeff or somebody called her out about, like, leader on the tribe. Am I making that up?
No, that was said. I think it was Sam who said it or something, where he was like, I was concerned about being seen as the leader. Cause that was, I think, during his glue speech where he said, I was concerned about being seen as the leader, but thankfully Annika's just taken over. Or maybe it was even Rachel who said it, but
I didn't make that up. No. Thank you. So yeah, it was brought up at tribal and she was the only one that got a vote. So there was, and John's obviously a crazy intelligent person. So if he believed that the tribe would vote for her, there has to be, I don't know, some kind of like missing piece to this. Mm-hmm. So that's why I ranked her so low.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not getting to Annika yet. I still have her lower yet. I do have Keyshawn here. I think that on this red tribe, he's in the most danger. And I hear what you're saying about Genevieve. I feel like Teeny, Asia, they're probably going for it. If they go for Rome, like if Rome plays, it has this idol situation. I could see Rome voting out. Maybe he would try to go for Genevieve instead, but like maybe they could all come to the conclusion on Keyshawn. What throws me off with him is the fact that he is so entertaining. Why did he get so little content in this episode? That's what's throwing me off with him. I feel like there should have been more. And that's why I'm ranking him lower. I ultimately don't think it's going to matter. I think that Yellow is going to lose again. But I just feel like the edit made sense for Genevieve and the type of personality she is. It didn't make sense for his.
Gotcha.
So that's what
smart,
I got.
Smart guy. Wow, you're like a specialist.
Yeah, I keep saying it. Keep, boost the ego. I need it.
I love boosting egos. Okay, so we're at 15.
15.
I have Andy here. I don't have him any further because he was saved once. Maybe he'll be saved again. There's something about him. There's got to be something in the works of let's just keep this guy because XYZ. He'll be in our back pocket type of thing. So I think if he does go to tribal, he will be the one to go. But also, maybe they don't go to tribal because they do have their supplies, mm-hmm. like we talked about earlier.
I don't have Andy in my bottom spot, but I don't have Andy here either. But I do agree with what you're saying. So the thing that's throwing me off with Andy is like, if they're claiming they kept him for strength, what would he have to do in this next episode to not be considered strong enough to keep over Annika? Like that's my take on what is going to play out here. So, you know, that kind of spoils my stuff. So I guess I'll just finish mine and then we can talk about your 16, yeah, sure. 17. But I have Gabe at 15 and then at 16, I have Andy and at 17, I have Annika. I thought it was interesting that in everything they showed in this episode, they took the time to tell us that Annika is a leader. So I did feel like, you know, that was purposely put in and they put that in right away in the first episode. So maybe she could be in danger. The fact that they all went to bat for Andy so hard and kept him in a unanimous vote really does confuse me because I don't feel like John rubbed people the wrong way that much. And then Gabe, on the other hand, he dropped the freaking box off the top of a mountain and everybody heard it. He was being weird and he did the kiss of death there where I think he was smart to stop. But at the same time, he took the 3 tribal council idol and we saw Chris Noble get voted out in Ghost Island strictly because he went for the extra one. And if he only had one tribal, he would have just played it and he didn't even realize he was going home. Mm-hmm. I think he's okay with Sue. And he actually like showed some like calm when Sue was about to be like, oh my God, you have an idol. He was like, would you chill out? But I'm still worried a little bit for him. So that's why I have him at the bottom from that tribe. But I ultimately have Andy, then Annika as my bottom two.
Okay. So I'm going to answer this question real quick. Yes, worth playing for said, Liz, who do you relate to the most so far? I really related to Andy simply because that's how I was feeling internally. I just didn't vocalize it. And I don't know what would have happened had we lost. We had the Hunter McKnight out there, right? And I do remember waking up on the second morning the first morning, second day, basically, and Randon and I going for a walk and him being like, Liz, you're on the bottom. And you better wake up, sister. And I was like, dude, tell me something I don't know. I was the first one to fall asleep. like that's just an easy thing, you know. But it did like kick my butt into gear where I was like, okay, well, everybody likes Tevin and no one's voting Hunter out. So those have to be my number ones. And I like immediately abandoned Randon and went and talked to those two. So I do relate to Andy in the insecurities, feeling like everyone is cheering for them and not cheering for me. And that was something when he said that, it reminded me of, and it's a secret scene between Q and I, when Q is like, Liz, why are you like, just why can't we get on the same page? Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, well, to be honest with you, I feel like you're getting all the accolades that I want. And there's, I can't, it's the same as, it's so stupid. Like, oh my gosh, they're cheering for the coconuts, but not for mine. It's that same, like, you know, immature, you know, jealousy, because it's an insecurity, right? Why is he having something I want? I thought I was going to come on here and be that guy, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not. And so now I'm insecure about it, right? So I really did relate to him in that way.
I love that. And thank you so much for the super chat worth playing for. Appreciate that.
That's yeah. So I've got
to. You related to him enough to rank him at 15.
I did rank him at 15. And I mean, honestly, I'd like to believe I wouldn't be the first boot either, but I have no idea. I had the privilege of coasting to the merge. Mm-hmm. I will admit that for sure.
Do you have any idea who would have been the first boot on your tribe?
I think it would have been, well, I mean, I think if we would have gone first, it would have been me or Venus. If we would have gone like a couple days later, like any time after those first 3 days, I think I moved myself out of Liz isn't fitting. And I think it would have been Soda or Venus for sure. Gotcha. 'Cause like I said, I immediately, Randon was like, you're on the bottom. People are already kind of talking about you. I immediately went to the two people that I knew everyone was liking. And they were like, yep, you're in. So I think I had moved myself out pretty quickly. Shout out to the Andy Griffith Alliance for bringing me in. So I've got at 16, I have Gabe. Even though he has an idol, right?
He does have the idol, but it's good for three tribal councils.
Which is why I put him so low, because of my personal experience with players. They want to hold on to it. If he did just watch, you know, my season halfway play out, but in the excitement Phil brought up at the very beginning of this episode, you know, he went for more, which makes me think, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I have him so low. And then at 17, I have Tiana. Is that how I pronounce
it? Wow, you took my winner pick and threw her at the bottom. Wow.
This is a personal vendetta.
Oh, no. Flight attendant? Or just
her hot take was that my Applebee's meltdown was completely entitled behavior. And when I read that, I thought, wow, you really looked at that very surface level and you really didn't read into the dynamics. And also you didn't see me like move on quickly and not vote for Q. Like you just saw this entitled thing and like, girl, you're about to play Survivor. You're literally about to play Survivor and, you know, humble thyself because it is much harder. Much harder than you think. I mean, I hope nothing like that happens to her. I hope that she eats enough calories that, you know, her like brain and body doesn't go into survival mode. I hope that there's no one on her tribe that thinks, oh, she's just a goat. I don't even have to feed her. Mm-hmm. That's a really like terrible experience. But I do hope that, your power ranking is low, and I did have the power for that, so I put you at the bottom.
Well, can I just say this? I think this will help you understand. There has only ever been one Applebee's location in Hawaii, and it's closed. It closed in 2016. So there's a chance that she's just never understood the deliciousness that is Applebee's. You don't understand, Liz. It's so nice to have you on this podcast as somebody who flipped out on national television over Applebee's. Because in high school, in my small ass town in New Jersey, what we would do is we'd go to Applebee's half price appetizers on like Friday nights. And that was our thing to do. And those boneless wings have been burned into my taste buds.
I so, love that, Phil. I should, I did not do y'all proud. I should have been wearing my Applebee's headband. I'll have to come back and I'll wear all my Applebee's gear that Applebee's sent me.
We need that. I love that. I love that. And I love, so I love that you took your power and you said, Tiana, you stink. You're out of here. 17th place. That's it.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll say about that, because I have a big ego, is it like actually helped my giant ego. So thank you. I was like, wow, they literally just saw my episode and I'm already a hot take, like, you know, hair flip. Like, I don't know anyone who did it better. Like, thank you.
I love it. I love it. And catching up here, Cody Brayman, thanks for the super chat. That was a great podcast. Dying laughing. Thank you, Cody. Love that we're getting the super chats. Always appreciate those. Those are always helpful for the podcast and all of that fun stuff. Don't single out recent players in your hot takes, everybody. They will come for you,
especially if their name is Liz Wilcox.
I'm over here with her as my winner pick. I'm talking her up and stuff. And you're over here like, ooh, she doesn't even know it's coming.
I'm like, sure. I mean, if I did it right. Obviously she, there's nothing about the episode that said she's going next. That was just me being ridiculous.
Hey, so if you can't be petty, Rome, what can you be? Right.
Right. Right. I mean, the winner of my season is literally named Petty. So I feel like I just have to carry that on.
You have to carry it on. Carry it on. If you can't be named it, you got to live it. One or the other.
Right.
Anything else you got, Liz, that you want to throw out before we wrap this up?
I do have one thing. I think this episode was near perfect. Mm. I really like, and no shade to 46 because I was on it. I was like, that episode kind of dragged on. It was like dramatic for dramatic's sake, you know, like it was very, and of course I knew how it went. So it felt like, you know, very one-sided for certain players. And I felt like this, I mean, there were some people, yeah, they got one thing, one confessional. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, that really can't be helped when you've got this, the new way of doing the idols and the challenge and Andy, you know, like that's bound to happen. We can't be butthurt about that. But I did feel like it showed the tribes really evenly. I loved the challenges. I thought they were really gripping. I loved, it was one glorious, perfect episode. Was that the name of it? The only thing I would have liked was a little bit more of like, why are we voting John out?
Yeah.
I feel like we fumbled the ball there at the end, but like Phil, I won't be a conspiracy theorist. I'll just take it for what it is, but it was a great, great start. And I, as someone who didn't even want to watch, and only watched because of my daughter and because my assistant told me I had this podcast coming up, I was genuinely surprised. I was like, wow, this is really gripping already. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. No, I thought it was really good too. And a lot of people were making fun of the box within the box within the box and whatever. And honestly, I think it's a good idea. And people forget that for season 46, they didn't know that they were going to get hour and a half episodes. So they were stuck between, is it going to be an hour? Is it going to be 90 minutes? They didn't know. And I feel like for season 47, I'm glad they knew they were going to get 90 minute episodes. So let's do things that are going to fill 90 minute episodes. So I agree. I thought it was a good episode. I do agree though that I wish we knew a little bit more as to why John got voted out. And hey, Survivor does have a history of this because supposedly Jimmy Johnson essentially quit Survivor Nicaragua and they totally hid that from the edit to make him look like he was, you know, just voted out normally. But supposedly Jimmy Johnson did not want to be there at all when that took place and he kind of forced their hand. So not saying it's never happened before.
Shout out Hannah Rose. Maybe we had a Hannah Rose situation on our hands. He was like, actually, I'm super rich and totally fine. Like,
I want to be here.
That's so funny because I felt that way like the first and second night. I was like, what am I doing here? Not that I'm super rich, but I was like, my life is really comfortable. I've actually like grown up super poor and uncomfortable. Why did I do this on purpose? Mm-hmm. Like literally, what am I even doing out here? Like, I'm awesome. I don't need this. So maybe he had the same thoughts. I don't know.
Maybe. And we'll just never, ever, ever know. So Hey, find out one day further down the line when this whole cast gets to talk, they're gonna be like, John Lovett hated it. He didn't want to be there. He was dying. Honestly, I find that highly doubtful. I feel like John.
I don't think so either. But he seemed to be really enjoying himself.
Let's start rumors on the internet. That's what we do. That's what I do here on my podcast. I got to catch fire. You know, I got to get the views up. So let's go. Come on, rumors. Get the rumor mill going. Liz, thank you so much for jumping on. This was a pleasure. I'm so happy I was able to start off this season with somebody from the most recent season and somebody who I was really excited to talk to, because I always feel like a lot of people in the community, they're like, that person didn't get that much of an edit, whatever. I'm like, no, those are the people you want to talk to. Like, let's hear what the hell was going on. I want to hear like the story and everything like that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. It was fun to hear some of the tidbits. Yeah. This was super fun. Thanks to the community. You know, join the Patreon, guys. Don't be stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go. Thank you for having me.
Yes. And for everybody who is a patron already or wants to become a patron, play in the Power Rankings game. $20 patrons, top tier patrons. You can play in our Power Rankings game with the chance to win a prize. I sent the link to the chat. So make sure you go ahead and check that out. It's on Patreon. The link was sent in a group chat with all the $20 patrons. Same way that you signed up for the fantasy game before the season began. Everybody else, think about becoming a patron. I'm covering Australian Survivor. We're doing a whole bunch of stuff, movies. Every season matters. We're into Survivor Palau. We have everything going on. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Liz, it was a pleasure. We'll see if Tiana can survive this week or if the Applebee's curse is going to be legit.
Oh, shit. Bye, friends.
Bye, everyone.